This program brought to you by Guns80.com, America's finest provider of 80% AR-15 rifles. Go to Guns80.com now. That's Guns80.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, fellas, here's up next. Then we'll go to Joan and others. I got really upset earlier, and I'm not trying to do that on purpose. I need to control myself because then I'm exhausted later, can't finish all my work. But, I mean, you're supposed to get mad at this stuff. It makes me so angry. Consumer Alert, high fructose corn syrup, simply renamed Republic Backlash. Read the article, see the video, make it go viral. Top of Infowars.com right now. Warn some people, folks. Phyllis, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hi, Alec.
Hi.
I have been listening to you for about 3 years, and this is the first time I've called.
Well, welcome, sweetheart, and thanks for holding.
Okay. I know you've got a guest coming up that was an FBI informant or, you know, asset something. And I was wondering, you know, I know we're talking a lot about the, you know, Europe and the Middle East and all the training that's going on there that we're helping fund, and our allies are helping fund the ISIS and
who now they link directly to the shooters, but then none of the media will say, oh, we shouldn't have funded ISIS. I mean, again, that's like putting mercury in the high fructose corn syrup at high levels, and it's not even an issue. It's just all over the top.
It is. It is. But my concern today, and I've looked at these articles, you know, several times over the years, is the terrorist training cells that are here in the United States.
Oh, they're here.
And yeah, they are. And I was wondering if your guest is coming up could, you know, give us some insight into this. I'm from Georgia, and matter of fact, I mean, I listened to you talk about your family from, you know, the Alamo and your Texas, you know, roots. My Georgia roots, I have a not an uncle, but he's an ancestor that fought in the War of 1812.
Oh, yeah, against the British.
And there's a county in Georgia that's named after him, and his sword is in the state capitol. But anyhow,
that's awesome.
My family is from Georgia before the Civil War. We were here. But anyhow, the training camps, you know, there's like three, and well, actually four, according to this website that I found. And
oh, listen, I've got New York Times articles about terror training camps all over the country where they, quote, are training jihadis to fight other jihadis. These are government run. They don't need to have secret training camps. They've got these jihad training camps all over the U.S. It's totally disgusting.
Well, you know, the cities that they list, you know, for Georgia is Augusta, Commerce, Macon, and Jessup. But the Commerce, city is in Franklin County, but the jihadi training camp is actually in Habersham County. And that is the same county that the little boy was maimed with a flash grenade by the police. The local police there went in and, you know, maimed a little boy in a no-knock raid.
Oh, yeah, with the flashbang?
But there is a jihadi training camp in Habersham County, which is a sister county of the county where my mother lives.
Well, we need folks to get in there and get some footage. In fact, we can dig up from old mainstream articles. where some of those government training camps are, where they have the blacked out buses going in, and that's the kind of thing we need to cover. By the way, that's dangerous covering that. I tried to cover that once, and I didn't get anything, and all hell broke loose. They were breaking into my hotel room, sabotaging our car. Needless to say, I don't do that stuff anymore just because I got too much to handle here. Used to be a funner job, though, when I was the guy always out in the field. I'll still go out in the field occasionally, like Fat Albert. All right, we'll be back with our guest. Stay with us.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit, we call the Federal Reserve Note, forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
When I first got online and I seen the price of the X2 and the DNA Force, I was a little hesitant, but I pulled the trigger on it. It has changed my life. I've been taking it for about 24 days now, counting the weight, staying in shape.
InfoWarsLife.com. You've heard the callers of the show.
Several months back, I started taking your Nation Iodine and your Supermeal. Prior to this, I was barely walking. Now I'm able to function as a human again.
Whether it's Survival Shield, Nation Iodine, or DNA Force, Super Male Vitality, Super Female Vitality, Lung Cleanse, Fluoride Shield, Oxy Powder. I believe that all of these products will blow you away like they've done the thousands of other customers that have visited InfoWarsLife.com.
That's true. Just amazing what it's able to do to actually detox in the body. It's great stuff.
If I'm going to promote something, it's got to be something I personally use and that I believe in. Check out InfoWarsLife.com today and the entire line of groundbreaking, cutting-edge, hardcore products.
Usually, the older one gets, the less you are able to absorb amino acids and the less you are able to repair the 100 trillion cells of your body. As a result, you'll have less energy, your tissues will shrink, and you'll become wrinkled. An older person will typically injure more easily and heal more slowly. Not fun. However, if you could consume a protein powder that is easier to absorb, then you may be able to gain back some strength, muscle, and speed of recovery. One World Whey is a highly digestible whey protein powder that may be the perfect answer for you.
My name is Errol. I'm 74 years old. You know, the taste of One World Whey is amazing. I play pickleball, and since taking One World Whey and your trace mineral supplement, I have more energy and recover faster from my working out. I used to take another grass-fed whey protein powder, but now I'm getting much better results using One World Whey.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com.
Up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line.
The Alex Jones Show. Because there is a war on for your mind.
Back in 1993, right after the first World Trade Center attack, I remember listening to local talk radio where a talk show host was discussing Emad Salem, the FBI informant, the former Egyptian military colonel who went undercover for the FBI and infiltrated the first Al-Qaeda cell on American soil in New York City during the 1993 World Trade Center bombing.
He also penetrated the headquarters of Al-Qaeda in America under the leadership of the blind sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman and the underground terrorist cell who was planning to blow up the landmarks in New York City and became the government star witness in the Day of the Terror trial. He is the author of Undercover, The Untold Story of Al-Qaeda, the FBI, and the CIA in America. ImadSalem.org. I've read the book. It came in a few weeks ago. Extremely powerful information. Now, folks, we're going to recap today in the next 50-something minutes what happened in 93. He sent a lot of photos and clips for TV viewers. For radio listeners, you can go to Infowars.com/show and find the free video feed. Or by tomorrow, we'll have an archive of this on the front page of PrisonPlanet.com and Infowars.com. But this guy is a patriot for freedom. He worked in intelligence operations, fought extremists in the Middle East, Egypt, one of our biggest allies, as you know, betrayed, set up, turned over to radicals, and the military came in and ousted him. It's a destabilization program that's going on. Well, he came over here when Egypt was one of our staunchest allies and helped infiltrate these groups. And it even came out in the New York Times. I'm going to show TV viewers this. Radio listeners can look it up. This is from October 28, 93. Tapes depict proposal to thwart bomb used in Trade Center blast. And Mr. Salem, he, just to give you a boil down, and he'll say it in his own words and correct areas that I don't get exactly right, but I made a film about this. I've been covering this since right after it happened. This is one of the reasons I heard a local talk show was talking about it, went and bought the New York Times. Back then you had to go to a newspaper shop to find them. Read it, couldn't believe the FBI would basically tell him to build the bomb, give him real detonators, and then tell him let it go forward, and then he tried to stop it. That was a game changer for me. Then we saw Waco and that cover-up and Oklahoma City, which was clearly another false flag. That's why I got on air. It took me 2 years to get on air. I got on air in 95. So Mr. Salem's story, to show how a rock leaves big ripples in a pond, is one of the things that triggered his courage. Is one of the things that triggered this broadcast being on air today and being the number one place in the world, hands down, exposing the fact of Operation Gladio, other operations of provocateur terror and an attempt to radicalize liberal groups, conservative groups, Islamic groups, you name it, to discredit them. Now, that's my take on it. Ahmad Salem can give it to you in his take, but Colonel, we appreciate you coming on. This is an amazing chance to talk to you. Your book is just amazing. I got so much even more insight. Of course, you tried to stop them. They tried to then set you up. I know you then recorded them, and so were able to get a settlement. Thank God you did that, because you're one of the only people on the inside to ever get out alive who exposes a false flag. So you've got the floor, sir, to recap 1993. And then I know you want to move forward and talk about ISIS, about Obama, about Al-Qaeda in America. You've got some incredible intel for us today. So God bless you. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Alex, for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to give me the platform to talk about the experience I have been through since 1990 with the FBI when I started to do covert operation against the Russian with the New York office for the Russian squad. At that time, I was employed in Manhattan in a hotel, and I was a chief engineer slash head of security, and I was approached by one of the FBI agents in the counterterrorism in the Russian squad, and she requested my cooperation, and it was a blessing and a great deal of honorship for me to assist the FBI to infiltrate this group of Russians. And this operation lasted, I would say, 6 to 8 months. And after that, Nancy Floyd, the FBI agent who did recruit me to do that operation, moved me to the INS. I did another operation covertly with the INS. It resulted into 72 arrests, and then I moved into the terrorist squad. And that's at the beginning of my involvement with the JTTF, which is the Joint Terrorist Task Force, the New York office. And there is a few things I would like to correct it, that so many news outlets reported that I went to the FBI and knocked the door. I said I have information. That's a false information. Actually, the FBI came to my office in the hotel at that time and requested my cooperation, and I was completely honored to do it with no return or no payment or no nothing, because I did my job as a U.S. citizen.
And so you did it for honor and justice?
Absolutely. Not a penny for the first 6 months, and then another 3 months for the INS, and then I started with the terrorist squad. At that time, it was assassination in Manhattan for a Jewish rabbi, his name is Meir Kahana, by an Arab person. And the FBI didn't have enough information about what's going on inside this group. They asked me to go inside, and I did. And I became a member of El Sayed Nusayr, which is the assassin of Meir Kahana, group of raising, fundraising and collecting money to support his defense. And he was being defended by a Jewish lawyer. His name is William Kanzler. He is no longer with us now. He passed away. However, Sayed Nusayr was acquitted in the first part, but because of the information I provided, I went to Sayed Nusayr in prison in Attica and in Rikers Island, and he told me that he did do the assassination, and he described it to me in details how he did it, because I was one of the insider at that time, and he thought that I am a fanatic as well, and I am going for the assassination of human beings, which I don't. No matter what the agreement or disagreement with somebody else, he's a human being, I have no rights to take his life. But that was a fatwa from the blind sheikh, Sheikh Omar Abdurrahman. It came a day during my infiltration to Sayed Nusayr's group, I was approached by one of the Joint Terrorist Task Force Special Agent John Antisev, and he showed me a newspaper picture for the blind sheikh. He said, "Do you know this person?" I said, "Yes, this is Sheikh Omar Abdurrahman, who assassinated my president, Anwar Sadat." At that time, I was still in the service in the Egyptian military, and I was present during the parade President Sadat was assassinated in. And I said, Agent John told me that this man is in New Jersey. I said, "My God, how did he came to New Jersey?" He said, "Well, that's unknown at this time. But what do you think?" I said, I think he is a very dangerous man. This man, wherever he go, people drop dead. And he is on the terrorist list. How did this man came into America?" Lo and behold, he said, "Can you approach him?" I did approach the blind sheikh, and I get very close to him, covertly, of course. And then he asked me to go on a trip with him for fundraising into Detroit. At that time, the FBI provided me with the van. That van was electronically bugged through a certain chopper. They have their way of recording the information. But during our trip from New York to Detroit, the blind sheikh asked me, "I heard that you are retired from special ops in Egypt." I said, "Yes, sir." "Okay, do you know how to shoot?" I said, "Yes, sir, of course." "Are you a sharpshooter?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Okay, if you wanted to repent from serving an infidel government, then you need to assassinate President Hosni Mubarak." At that time, Mubarak was coming the next Wednesday. It was shocking for me to have a straight order from the blind sheikh, because he got the word first from his followers that I'm collecting money for Sayed Nusayr. I'm one of the close people that the Nusayr group, and that's why he attempted to give me that order. And of course, all of that's being recorded on tapes. I said, okay, I think that's a good idea. I did not decline, and I made a point to bring that to the attention of my handlers at that time, which is Special Agent John Antisev and Detective Louis Napoli from the terrorist squad in the New York office. We came back from Detroit, and the blind sheikh requested me to visit Sayyid Nusayr in Attica. I went to visit him in Attica. He gives me the order to build a bomb. Do you know how to build a bomb? I said, of course, it's special ops. He said, okay, I would like you to build a bomb and kidnap Henry Kissinger and Judge Duffy, who ruled against him in this case. And if you can kidnap an FBI agent, that would be great, so you can bargain to release me. I said, okay, Sheikh, that's a good idea. And I went back, I reported that to my handlers. From this point on, I start to ask Sayyid Nusayr in the next visit, how am I going to build the bombs? I don't have materials. I don't know what to do. And that's as per the instructions. I was instructed by my handlers in the JTGF not to dictate or not to suggest targets or not to suggest bombings, but I always ask open-end questions. And my open-end question, how am I going to build the bomb? I don't have material. Sayyid Nusayr described to me where to go in Canal Street, what is the name of the store, where to buy the fuse, where to buy the explosives. I said, great. I came back from Attica. I went to Canal Street. I bought the fuse, and I went to my handlers in the bureau. At that time, they said, it is getting very serious. We have to bring you up to the ASAC. The ASAC in the FBI means Assistant Special Agent in Charge. His name is Carson Danbar, and he is in charge of the counterterrorism in the New York office at the time. I said, Sayyid Nusayr requested from me to build a bomb, told me where to get the materials. Here is the fuse. I got it, and now I need to know what to do. He said, I got to put you on the box. He said, what do you mean box? Got to put you on a polygraph. Well, I have been working with you guys almost for a year now, with the Russian squad, with the INS, with the Nusayr assassination, and now you're coming to tell me you want to polygraph me, you have no trust? He said, no, put me in the polygraph is not going to get a result, Mr. Carson. He said, why, Salim? I said, because I know how to fool the machine. He said, I don't care, put him on a box. They got an examiner, put me on the box, and the conclusion came that inconclusive result. So I went to Mr. Danbar, I said, I told you so. He said, I don't care, put him on another examiner for another polygraph. I went for the second polygraph, came inconclusive. He called Washington headquarters for the FBI, brought the head of the examiners from Washington to conduct the test by himself. So it will not be inconclusive as usual. The gentleman who came from the headquarters rubbed me wrong, and he conducted a test, and I proved him that I can fool his machine. And I'm being frank about it because I have nothing to hide. Yet he came that it is inconclusive, but his feeling is that I am deceptive. And that became a personal disagreement between me and the examiner. This is the third exam in 1 week, and it came inconclusive, but once he go to Washington, I became deceptive. I said, I really
sure. And just to be clear, polygraphs are now basically not admissible because all you've got to do is stay upset the entire time at every question, and then it's just all over the map. There's other ways to beat them. They're only there to fool people into thinking that they know you're lying. They do have some brain scans now that are more accurate, but even those are fraudulent. It's a quack machine so that they can basically demonize whoever they want. But regardless, your whole story has come out in the Washington Post, New York Times. What happened to you was recorded coming up. You've been proven to be accurate and correct. I think the polygraph thing is interesting, but not that important in the final equation. And we have Ahmad Salem, the former Egyptian military colonel, worked in intelligence, you name it, became a citizen, moved to the U.S., began working with the FBI, infiltrating very dangerous Russian-type assassination groups, then infiltrating radical Islamic groups that were assassinating people, if you just tuned in. Again, the New York Times, tapes depict proposal to thwart bomb used in Trade Center blast. He's building up to win. Okay, they built the bomb. They're real terrorists. Now let's bust them, and the FBI basically lets it go forward. Continue telling the rest of the story. Then I want to move forward to the intel that's really important.
Okay.
Because, I mean, your take on ISIS, Obama, the radicalization, all the things that are happening. Please, Mr. Salem.
Yes, sir. It came to the point that Mr. Carson Dunbar started to dislike me personally, that there are three examiners come unconclusive. He insists that I wear a wire. I was working as an intelligence gathering asset, as they described it, and I never had intention to testify and become a star witness and all of the above. But at that moment, if I wear a wire, as he requested, I will be obligated, I'll become a character witness, and I'll be obligated to testify in an open court. And at that time, I have a family. I have a wife. I have two children. I don't want to jeopardize their life by disclosing my covert work. Mr. Dunbar insists. I said, I'm willing to wear the wire and bring you the information on that tape that Mr. Nusair asked me to build the bomb, if that's what you're concerned about, but I don't testify in court. He said, no, then go home. I said, go home? The people asking me to build the bomb, you're telling me, and I'm the only one who is giving you ears and eyes inside the cell, you're telling me go home? He said, yes, go home. I said, okay. And I told the three agents who were standing at the door of Mr. Dunbar, Agent John Anisev, Agent Louis Napoli, Detective Louis Napoli, and Agent Nancy Floyd. I said, okay, I'm going home. But if the bomb got built on, they built and went off, don't come and knock on my door. That was November 1992. December came, and I got bombarded by phone calls from the mosque in Queens by Mahmoud Abu Halima and other members of the cell to come to continue building the bombs. And I refused. I said, I'm scared of the FBI. They are monitoring me and surveilling me. And I pulled completely out of the cell. And that's at the time when Sheikh Omar reached out for Afghanistan. And I know how his communication to get around being traced. He was going to Osama bin Laden via fax machine in his bedroom in New Jersey, because I saw that myself, and requested another bomb builder. And that's when Ramzi Ahmed Yusuf came to the country with Ahmed Haddad. Ramzi Ahmed Yusuf came to the country, took over building the bomb, and at that time I assumed that the FBI continuously monitoring these people, because I give them their names, they have their pictures, they subpoenaed them, they have their fingerprints, they have the whole information. But unfortunately, they didn't follow up on them. Ramzi Ahmed Yusuf came, built the bomb, went off in 1993. I was in my front room watching TV, and then I hear that there is a bomb went off in the World Trade Center. I called my wife, I said, honey, they did it, it's been built, it's done. And then, as I expected, they came to knock on my door, come back, because the bomb went off. This is a crucial point. It was not a black flag operation. It's not a false operation. It's a real crazy idiots, fanatics, who wanted to commit jihad under the leadership of the
Blacks. Sir, I want to be clear and not split hairs here, Colonel. I consider a false flag when you know something's going on, you've got a $50 billion budget like the FBI and Justice Department have, and then you don't go stop people. If I know that my neighbor is going to kill his wife tomorrow, he tells me, I'm going to kill my wife when she gets home in the garage and say she committed suicide, and then he kills her, I'm aiding and abetting. I'm now an accomplice because I didn't do anything. So that's my point. Yes, I know they're real crazy jihadis. I understand that. I know you tried to stop them. My point is, that's still a false flag in my view, because you let them do it. But we can come back and argue that point. Yes. I then want to move forward to how you recorded them to protect yourself and the rest of it. And then we're going to come back and get into your view on ISIS, the attacks in Paris, Barack Hussein Obama. I know you want to talk about him. This is big what's coming up, folks.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
I lost 18 pounds in just 4 days. Hi, I'm James Zetta. If you're like me, you've already tried and failed at many diet and weight loss plans. The 18 and 4 weight loss plan requires no exercising, no diet pills or additives, no laxatives, no meal replacements, and no diet drinks. The 18 and 4 program is crystal clear with a day-to-day, step-by-step, and meal-to-meal guide. If you're not satisfied with your results, I will give you my 30-day full money-back guarantee. Go to 18and4.com. That's the number 18, I-N, the number 4.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
When I first got online and I seen the price of the X2 and the DNA Force, I was a little hesitant, but I pulled the trigger on it. It has changed my life. I've been taking it for about 24 days now, pounding the weight, staying in shape.
InfoWarsLife.com. You've heard the callers of the show.
Several months back, I started taking your Nathan Iodine and your Super Meal. Prior to this, I was barely walking. Now I'm able to function as a human again.
Whether it's Survival Shield, Nathan Iodine, or DNA Force, Super Male Vitality, Super Female Vitality, Lung Cleanse, Fluoride Shield, Oxy Powder. I believe that all of these products will blow you away like they've done the thousands of other customers that have visited InfoWarsLife.com.
Dash 2, just amazing what it's able to do to actually detox in the body. It's great stuff.
If I'm going to promote something, it's got to be something I personally use and that I believe in. Check out InfoWarsLife.com today and the entire line of groundbreaking, cutting-edge, hardcore products.
Millions of people are going to get sick this winter from colds, flus, and other illnesses. Make sure you're not one of them. Protect yourself with Supernatural Silver, a revolutionary new product. Recent advances in silver technology have resulted in a silver solution that can be used daily to help prevent bacteria, viruses, and fungus. Supernatural Silver is safe enough to use daily, while powerful enough to help your own immune system destroy the causes of many serious diseases. Supernatural Silver has the ability to terminate entire colonies of harmful bacteria at several hundred times the effectiveness of colloidal or ionic silver. The Science Digest Journal says, silver is our mightiest germ fighter. It is virtually non-toxic and is emerging as a wonder of modern medicine. Go to supernaturalsilver.com today and use the promo code SILVER2015 for 30% off. Give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. It's Alex Jones.
Last winter, the FBI was praised for its speed in cracking the case of the World Trade Center bombing and bringing four suspects to trial. Now, there is some evidence that the FBI may have known of the plot in advance through an informant and might even have stopped the bombing that killed six people. Correspondent Jacqueline Adams has the story.
FBI FBI agents might have been able to prevent last February's deadly explosion at New York's World Trade Center. They discussed secretly substituting harmless powder for the explosives, but they didn't, according to the FBI's own informant, Imad Salem. Unbeknownst to the FBI at the time, Salem recorded many of his conversations with his handlers.
I'm holding 903 pages of draft transcripts.
William Kunstler represents Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman and several others charged with conspiring to blow up a series of New York City landmarks 4 months after the World Trade Center bombing. That case has not yet gone to trial. Kunstler confirmed newspaper reports of the Salem transcripts. In one, Salem complains to an FBI agent, "Since the bomb went off, I feel terrible. I feel bad. I feel here is people who don't listen." The agent replies, "Hey, I mean, it wasn't like you didn't try and I didn't try. You can't force people to do the right thing."
There is material in here to show gross governmental misconduct.
Today, attorneys for the defendants in the World Trade Center bombing case.
That's from October 28th, 1993, CBS News, using that for archival free speech purposes to analyze historical events. Since then, they have declassified and released the actual tapes that Imad Salem was able to record to protect himself. And we have some of those clips. If you'd like to go to those, we have the clip of that very transcript you just heard. But we got cut off by the break. Those are hard breaks. Absolutely. It's not a classic pure false flag where you shoot somebody and then frame, somebody else for it. But in my view, it's still letting it happen, helping them get the bomb together, and having you stand down and not letting you, you know, do your job or them not doing their job and clearly knowing the bombing was coming. I think that's aiding and abetting it. And I don't have some dog in the fight to demonize the FBI. That's a scary organization. It's just that from the perspective I've got in Oklahoma City and other events, this is something they've done before. Your take on that, sir?
Yes, sir. For you to understand what really happened, you need to know how with that FBI, the New York office, used to work at that time. They are two divisions, humps and suits. The humps is John Antifiv and Nancy Floyd and Louis Napoli and Steve Birra, the special agents. This is the humps who sweat on the street, who do their best to protect and clean up American streets. The suits sitting in their offices, as Mr. Carson Dan Barr used to sit in the office, put his legs on the desk and talk from the tip of his nose. I saw John and Steve Vieira and Nancy Floyd and all of these agents sweating, begging Mr. Dan Barr to keep me in the cell and continue the investigation. He said, no, send him home. And when the bomb went off, he sent the agents to bring me back, to go back undercover. So I wouldn't throw the blame on the FBI, period. The listeners and you would like to understand, because I was there. I walked the walk and I talked the talk, and I am not afraid of nobody. If I am afraid, I wouldn't go undercover with assassins and evildoers hiding behind the name of Islam. These people, I mean, the FBI, with their fight between the management and, of course, today is a whole different story. At that time, in the 90s, terrorism was something brand new. And for them to hear that somebody got orders to build the bomb and go in Manhattan and so on, and it is crazy for them. But I wouldn't throw the blame on the special agents. The blame,
I understand you're saying it's the bureaucracy. That's what the late John O'Neill said. Did you ever talk to John O'Neill? Because he gave a speech in England months before he died, saying, and he was, of course, the deputy director of the FBI, the head of counterterrorism, for those who don't know, the government's going to let al-Qaeda attack us to take liberties. A big change is coming. He quits the FBI, goes to work at the World Trade Center the week of 9/11, and then dies in it.
Yes.
I mean, this is bizarre. So let's put bookends on the 93 event, and then give us your incredible info and expertise on what's happening in the Middle East, what Barack Obama really stands for, ISIS, all of it. I'm going to give you the floor, sir.
This is one very important point I would like to explain it to your listeners. Why why President Barack is saying not hitting hard on the terrorists and on ISIS. And I know it sounds crazy, but bear with me. President Barack was born after his older brother, Malik. The father, Mr. Hussein, named his son Malik, and that's one of God's names in Islam. The second son, he named him Barack. What does Barack mean? Barack is the right Prophet Muhammad, and we can see Mr. Malik sitting with Mr. Obama, visiting him in the White House. Mr. Malik is in charge of the Muslim Brotherhood in Africa. There's a lot of finances going on through Mr. Malik, and we can see him in another picture holding the Yemenian dagger on his waist, and he is a big supporter to the Muslim Brotherhood. And that explains that Mr. Barack is saying, is not hitting hard on the Muslim Brotherhood. On the contrary, he took them off the terrorist list. For years and years, the Muslim Brotherhood is on the terrorist list around the world. In the Arab world, who knows them best? But Mr. Barack decided to take them off the terrorist list and start to be sponsoring them and put them in charge of Egypt. Again, it's the Egyptian population. I am originally Egyptian. I have ears and eyes on the roads of Egypt on a minute by minute. And I know that every Egyptian disliked the decision of putting the Muslim Brotherhood in charge of Egypt. But that's the way Mr. Barack wanted to be. It took 1 year and the entire population ripped the Muslim Brotherhood off. The taking over the government in Egypt. And now they are in trial in jail. Guess what? When Mr. Barack slowed down in his support to the Muslim Brotherhood, they threatened him, and I have that front page in Ahram newspaper, Muslim Brotherhood threatening Obama. If he stopped supporting them, they will release secret documents to put him in prison. Verbatim words. Our listeners and our media in America, the mainstream media, will not put that, will not like to hear that. They don't want to hear
it. And by the way, Colonel, Ahmad Salam, very famous FBI informant, infiltrator of assassin groups, you name it, successfully helping send him to prison, infiltrating the World Trade Center bombing of 93. If you just joined us, I've interviewed Dr. Jerome Corsi. I've interviewed Colonel Schaefer, and I've got a bunch of other sources off record in Congress, in the Senate. Everything he's saying, I heard 2 years ago, before it was even in the Egyptian newspapers, they have Obama's family, not just his brother, but Odinga and others. They're the ones that did the uprisings in Kenya and tried to basically overthrow it. This is incredible. And they're siphoning tens of millions a month up to the Muslim Brotherhood in an attempted takeover. And when I first learned about this, I couldn't believe it, that a U.S. president, bare minimum, is being blackmailed by the Muslim Brotherhood to carry all this out. I mean, it's really happening. I always thought that would be like Islamophobia or something. I just couldn't believe it. It was too big a conspiracy. Now it's admitted. So break down. I mean, so what you're saying is the intel from Egypt, where you were a colonel in intelligence, is that Obama is being blackmailed, or is he a willing accomplice of the radical jihadist?
First, I would like to correct one thing. I'm not a colonel in the intelligence. It's an honor. I wouldn't assume it. I am not in the intelligence.
Well, I just read the New York Times you were a colonel that worked in intelligence and other operations.
No, I am not an intelligence officer. I have so many friends since I served in the military. They were serving me in a small units, and they went to intelligence, and we have friendly connections.
Sure, so the New York Times got that wrong. What was your role as a colonel in the Egyptian army?
I was in the Arms Ammunition Division.
Ah.
And I was in charge, and I was in the special ops, but I was not an intelligence officer.
Good. Okay, good. The New York Times got that wrong years ago.
I want to clear this point quickly. Mr. Barack Obama's upbringing with a father who believed in fanaticism to the point that he named his first son Malik on God's name, and the second son Barack, which is the right of Prophet Muhammad. And then he was growing up in this environment as a Muslim. And when he came to the United States, let us see, he decided to be Christian. I'll go for that. But what kind of church Mr. President went to? Mr. White, a fanatic priest who is condemning America and going against America. Mr. Barack's heart is a Muslim. I have no problem with that because I am a Muslim myself. But don't go to the fanatics, take them off a terrorist list, start supporting them, and then I have to pay the price as an American citizen. We are paying the price for increasing the power of the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood, as I said, comes from the roots of, or they are the roots of ISIS. If you go to the ISIS tree, and I can see the ISIS tree, it started from the bottom as Hassan al-Banna, and then after him, it came Ayman al-Zawahiri, and then Sheikh Omar Abdul Rahman, and then it came a point when somebody by the name Muhammad Abdul Salam. Muhammad Abdul Salam is the first one who switched the Muslim Brotherhood from being an organization fighting the British occupation during the Nasser era into a violent organization, and they attempted to assassinate Gamal Abdel Nasser. They attempted to assassinate Anwar Sadat until the blind sheikh succeeded to do it, and he was elected the prince of jihad on the global level. And for a long time, the blind sheikh, after God helped me to put him in jail, he was running his organization through Lynn Stewart, his attorney, by making press releases to give orders to his followers in Egypt.
I want to shift gears back to my statement, though, when I described Jerome Corsi, WorldNet Daily, their investigations, saying basically what you said, getting back to people in Obama's family financing the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, that horrible overthrow, the burning of the churches, the killing of the military, the end of free speech, all the tyranny that expanded in Egypt. Do you agree with my statement that bare minimum Obama is being blackmailed? You said that was in the Egyptian papers?
Yes, he is being blackmailed, but he put himself in that position.
I understand. So he was a willing accomplice, and then now is being blackmailed.
Now he's being blackmailed, and that's why he stopped the Apache helicopters to go to Egypt and alienated the United States from the entire Arab world. Egypt is the heart of the Arab world, and Saudi Arabia, Emirates, Dubai, they all surrounding Egypt. And now they are pulling out of the United States, and Mr. Putin jumping in head down and start to send the Egyptian people now eating caviar once a week by Mr. Putin. Why he's doing that? He's taking the opportunity that Mr. Obama is no longer liked by the Egyptian people.
What do you think the grand strategy is to overthrow Egypt? That sounds completely insane, but they tried it. It lasted for 1 year until 20 million people hit the streets. I mean, why would Obama want to put people in charge that were crucifying Christians in the streets for no reason? Why?
Well, he's not per se wanted to crucify Christians, but he is heartedly supporting the Muslim Brotherhood, who will kill Christians, as you just mentioned. And they continue to do that until the military took over Egypt. And now Egypt is being alienated from the United States. The main goal, the final goal, is to have American control, Islamic control over Africa.
That's it. Yep.
That is Africa. The goal, and that is what Dr. Isam al-Haddad was sent by Mr. Khayrat al-Shatir from Egypt to the United States to the White House, have the instruction from the White House, go back to Egypt and start to go back to Mr. Malik in Africa to spread the Muslim Brotherhood wing over Africa, and then Africa...
Exactly, but not genuine Islam, as you said, this radical form with criminal elements of our government backing it, as a secret army, I think that's clear. Getting into other perspectives on ISIS on Obama and others being caught helping fund them. Is that blowback now when they go into Iraq? What's the inside intel as an Egyptian colonel and then an FBI asset? What's your expert take on what's happening currently and what we saw in Paris?
Well, as you know, that the head of ISIS was one of our prisoners in Guantanamo.
Yes.
And then we release him. And then we say, oops, there is so many oopses being going on. After we release Mr. El-Baghdadi, we say, oops, and today everybody works for his own best interest. Of course, Mr. El-Baghdadi created his followers, which is originally supported by the Muslim Brotherhood, backed up by Hamas in Palestine. Hamas is the military arm of the Muslim Brotherhood. They are all connected. It is one tree. It started from Egypt under one leadership, and that is the Prince of Jihad, the blind Sheikh Omar Abdulrahman. I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm following Sheikh Omar Abdulrahman very closely. And sadly, for the first time since 20 years ago, he was taken out of prison, put in a hospital to prepare for his, what they call it, transfer. At the beginning, the State Department said, oh, we're going to release him. And then the media went crazy. You cannot release. The guy has American blood on his hand. Oh, well, we will transfer him. And then this is ridiculous.
Shouldn't he have just been executed?
I don't know about the capital punishment in New York. The guy should be in prison. He is not in prison. I will bet you something here. We have 2 or 1.75 years left for Mr. Barack. He will release the Sheikh before he leave office to shut the Muslim Brotherhood forever. And you can quote me on that.
Incredible, sir. We've only got like 6 minutes left in the next segment. We can do a little bit of overdrive. I want to have you back for an in-depth, commercial-free, hour-long special sometime on the Nightly News to really give you the floor with all the documents and articles you sent us to kind of do a live presentation sometime, maybe a taped one so we can add more video to break all this down. But amazing perspective. And from my own deep research of everything, I really can't disagree with anything you've said. It's just so over the top. Reality is so amazing.
The CDC just announced flu vaccines may have the wrong strain of flu virus. You may not be protected. Whatever your lifestyle, your immune system is critical, and Immudyne provides your immune support. Doctor recommended, stimulant-free and not found in pharmacies. Go to Immudyne.com to find out more or to place an order, or call 866-257-8668. That's Immudyne.com or 866-257-8668. Remember, Immudyne is key support for your immune system.
Digestive health is key to wellness, and Pro-EM-1 is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a daily liquid probiotic that improves food absorption and supports weight loss by removing toxins from your system. Recommended by doctors, Pro-EM-1 is 100% natural, organic, non-GMO, wheat, soy, gluten, and dairy-free. Call us today at 888-611-8025 or visit ProEM1.com to save over $25 on your order. That's 888-611-8025 or ProEM1.com.
The experts are clear. Sunlight, purified water, healthy non-GMO food, and having a good attitude is essential to a healthy immune system. But I go further with Super Nascent Iodine X2 from InfoWarsLife.com. 50% stronger than our original and revolutionary Nascent Iodine formula, coming from a deep earth crystal source that no other supplier has. Most other forms of iodine come from seaweed in areas plagued by Fukushima and other contaminants. Not our iodine. It comes from over 200 million year old crystal salt deposits and is tested and proven to be completely pure. Visit InfoWarsLife.com today. See the informational videos. Read the information there compiled. And for a limited time, when you use promo code NOW at checkout, you get an additional 5% off the entire family of InfoWarsLife.com products. Secure your Survival Shield X2 today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll free 888-253-3139.
Did you know by age 50, half of all men have an enlarged prostate? This means more urges to urinate, longer bathroom trips, waking at night to urinate, or issues with sex. If this sounds familiar, call us now, because we're shipping free bottles of Super Beta Prostate to listeners of this station. Super Beta Prostate is a non-prescription formula guaranteed to reduce the symptoms of your enlarged prostate. It's yours free. Pay only shipping and handling. Just call 1-800-852-1820. In clinical trials, the ingredient in Superbeta Prostate was shown to reduce urges to urinate, improve bladder emptying, reduce waking at night to urinate, and improve quality of life. This Superbeta Prostate free offer is for listeners of this station, but it won't last. Don't wait. Just call 1-800-852-1820. That's 1-800-852-1820. Call 1-800-852-1820.
Watch me! Alex Jones here live in the final main broadcast segment. We'll do one more segment of Overdrive with our guest, Ahmad Salam. Former Egyptian military colonel, went undercover with the FBI and infiltrated the first Al-Qaeda cell on American soil in New York City. He also infiltrated the Russians. When you think about this, what type of country would elect somebody who you don't even know really where they're from, and then they've got all these brothers and people and cousins that are radicals who've been caught trying to basically overthrow Kenya before? Man, this country is in trouble. And then they did overthrow Egypt for a year and had a reign of terror. And I used to hear all the right-wingers talk about this, and I just would roll my eyes because people call me a conspiracy theorist. Sometimes truth is so strange, I can't even believe it. Everybody should get his book. It is a page-turner, Undercover, Ahmad Salam, The Untold Story of Al-Qaeda, the FBI, and the CIA in America. AhmadSalam.org. We'll tweet out Ahmad Salam, S-A-L-E-M. It's like Salem, AhmadSalam.org. So you can get his book. Let me ask you this. I want to get back to the Paris situation and what's happening and going on. But you were saying off air, one of my producers, you said this in your own words, about, did you say that Obama and others are trying to radicalize Islam? What's your view on that and some of the Wahhabists out of Saudi Arabia? What's the agenda there?
Well, I think that Mr. Obama's heart is for the radical Islam. But of course, we have to show the presidency for the American people completely. But all of his behavior, it just shows his support to the Muslim Brotherhood, which is against the Egyptian peoples and against their wishes. Today, the United States of America has been alienated from Egypt, from Saudi Arabia, from Dubai, from the only country with the United States at this time is Qatar. And when we took the five Taliban leader and released them, they are fanatics and radicals. And you got to imagine if these people today leaving ISIS from Qatar or not. You cannot, in the day of the internet, to control what they will say and to who will they say. I think Mr. Obama, I have no problem for him to be loving to Islam. I am a Muslim myself. But please, Mr. Barack, please do not go for the fanatics and the radicals, because it bounced back to America. America is being hated as a government, not at the American people, in the Middle East, because of what you have been doing.
Oh, yeah, Pakistan is mad at us for supporting radicals. People act like the Middle East loves radicals. They hate them.
Unfortunately, that's the price the American people, you and I, will pay. That we get alienated from the Middle East, and when we go ask them to help us to fight ISIS, of course they say, if you're coming to support a terrorist organization called the Muslim Brotherhood, you come in now, one of the tails of the Muslim Brotherhood, which is ISIS, you want us to help you fight it? Sorry. And they walk away. And they went far from the United States to get their weapons from Russia and from China. And then, lo and behold, Russia will start to spread their wings on the Middle East, and we lose our leadership role around the world. America, I immigrated to, is the United States of America, and it is the supreme power on the planet, and we should maintain that, increase the military power, and increase our leadership around the planet, not to shy from being American. I am proud to be one. It was my choice, and I will maintain it to the day I die. I'm not afraid to die. If I'm afraid to die, I wouldn't go.
Well, that's powerful. I'm on salon. Well, nobody can debate that the government's destroying American power everywhere on purpose for global government to replace it. That's the master plan. Five more minutes with our guest. Nightly News tonight, 7 o'clock. Powerful interview. Radio Network.
Aging starts at the cellular level. When cells become toxic, they die early and aging sets in.
In the past decade, we have witnessed unparalleled scientific discoveries. During that period, key patented compounds have focused on mitochondrial growth, nerve growth, and rejuvenation. But no one has put together a formula that focuses directly on brain health, nerve growth factors, and optimizing your cellular energy at the same time. We now have the synergistic solution, DNA Force, just one of the key compounds. BioPQQ is backed by major clinical studies and over 175 PubMed-listed published studies. You want the best that's out there at the lowest price anywhere? The ultimate value, cutting-edge, trailblazing game changer that also supports the InfoWar. Secure your DNA Force today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139. DNA Force from InfoWars Life.